You enjoying your week in London, old girl?
Oh, Hubert, staying at the Ritz and seeing the best shows in town, marvelous.
Where are Ronnie and Babs? I'm going to miss the start of this new review.
Hit the Heights is going to be the hit of the season, by all accounts.
Oh, hi there. Had a business meeting.
I had to fish him out of the pub in Red Lion Street.
Good old Ronnie.
The feather in your headband, Babs.
Absolutely de rigueur for a review, Mabel. It's all bohemian this evening.
Well, you won't catch me in a gypsy skirt.
Got the program.
Oh, rather.
Hubert's been showing off to everyone how he's going to the pavilion to see Hit the Heights. Anyone would think the cast were his best friends. The charming Eunice Dunn, the sparkling Nicholas Drake, the witty Charles Kay, and of course the splendid Elizabeth Wells and the marvellous Don Moffat.
Yeah, I said I was going to meet them all in this sporty little club afterwards, too.
Oh, you're the slipper. You're lucky.
Can we sing along with the tunes?
Not advisable, old man. We're in the front row of the store.
Come on, or we'll miss the overture.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Hit the Heights, our new review for this exciting decade of the 20s. Now, what is review? Well, perhaps the following will clarify. The scene is a foggy street. A theatre manager, dressed in white tie and tails, is wandering, lost, when he encounters a troupe of players, Piero, Columbine and the rest, returning home from work.
Confound the fog. I've gone astray. Good people, can you kindly say how I can find my way to Oxford Street? A London manager, am I? And I would have you know, if you will lead me through this fog, my gallant Pierrot, I'll dress you in modern things and put you in my show.
I will gladly set you right, good sir, but we would have you know that we have very little use for any modern show. We still haunt the theatres where one time we held sway. We find you've not advanced a bit. And we can truly say, there's nothing new.
What would you do if you desired to really set the pace of modern show?
There's someone who can help you, who has something up his sleeve. A tailor who is living in the land of make-believe. He's been sewing shows together since the days of Mother Eve.
Then take me to him.
At the tailor's shop.
Stitch, 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 stitch. All the same story, original sin in original glory. The only original thing left today. But show me the will, and I'll find you the way. Scarlet for passion, and purple for kings, cotton for wenches, velvet for queens. Strip them all naked, and what do you find? A man and a woman, for foolish mankind. Columbine, Piero, who have we here?
It is at last a manager who's really up to date. He wants a show that's smartly cut and of a pattern new. And we brought him to your shop to see what you can do.
I've tragedies and tales of other days. I've comedies and even bedroom plays. But this crazy patchwork quilt on which I sew might easily suggest a modern show. For if you take a patch from here and there, some modern tunes, some old plaintive air, a pretty face, a dance, a merry jest, they have, for all mankind, some interest. All kinds of bait will often make great catches, so why not give variety in patches?
And so review was born.
Bluebird, who has never said a word, starts to sing spring, spring.
When the little blue bell in the bottom of the dell starts to ring, ding, ding.
the little blue clock, sitting sadly in the park, got the view of the moon up above.
It is nature that's all simply telling us to fall in love.
And that's why she do it, Jack, do it. Up and up and up and up, do it, let's fall in love. In Spain, a bet, up a set, do it. Lithuanians and let, do it, let's fall in love. The Dutch in old Amsterdam, do it, not to mention the Finns.
Oh, think I am, do it, think the Chinese twins.
From Argentina, without me, do it. Let's fall in love.
The nightingales in the dark, do it. Lark, crazy for a lark, do it.
Let's do it, let's fall in love. The canary's cage in the house, do it. When the roxy sprouts, do it.
Let's do it, let's fall in love.
Now, it is, I believe, an established custom with shows such as ours to provide at least one humorous sketch during the evening. However, no, we are not content with just one. We are going to give you no less than six humorous sketches, and all in the space of the next 2 minutes. Now, the scene for the first of our playlist is the stage of a West End theatre during rehearsals.
Have you ever been on stage, young man?
No, miss.
What, never been round behind?
No, miss. I've always been thinned like this.
Scene, the Zoological Gardens.
What's that animal, miss?
Why, don't you know?
No, what?
It's a kangaroo, one of those natives of Australia.
My word, my sister married one of those.
Scene, the Portsmouth Road.
I say, old man, do be careful. You're driving all over the place.
Good Lord, I thought you were driving.
Scene, Piccadilly Circus.
Lummy hell, faint price is not a summer awful. No sooner do I cop a rise in wages than the wife at home wants money for this, money for that, money for law knows what.
Blimey, what you do with all the money you give her?
I don't know, I ain't never given out yet.
The tea dance.
I say, isn't this a delightful dancing floor?
Well, why don't you get off my feet and try it?
The Pavilion Box Office.
I say, can I have a seat in the jolly old circle?
Sorry, circle's full up.
Oh, then I should have to have a jolly old stall.
Sorry, no stalls left.
Oh, you don't say. Well, I suppose I must take a flippity old box, what?
All the boxes are taken, and besides that, I wouldn't give you one anyway. You're drunk.
Of course I'm drunk. Do you think I'd want to come and see this show if I was sober?
Through the perishing winter nights and days, a funny little phrase that means such a lot to me that you've got to be with me heart and soul, for on you the whole thing leans.
Won't you kindly tell me what you're driving at?
Please don't turn away, all my dream will stay hidden out of sight among a lot of my have-beens. A room with a view, and you,
and no one to worry us, no one to hurry us through this dream we've found.
We'll gaze at the sky and cry to get what it's all about, then we can figure out why the world is round.
We'll be as happy and contented as birds upon a tree, high above the mountains and seas. We'll bill and we'll and sorrow will never come, oh, will it ever come true? Our room without you.
Why, so practical, I'd make tactical errors as your wife. I'd try to set your life to right. I'm upset a bit, poor, I get a bit dizzy now and then.
And leave behind the noisy crowds. Sunlight shines for us above the clouds.
My eyes glisten too while I listen to all the things you've said. I'm glad I brought a head behind.
A room without you. No one to give advice, that sounds a paradise. Few could fail to choose.
With fingers entwined, we'll find relief from the preachers who always beseech us to mind our peace and fuse.
We'll watch the halls of God before us, for we are teaching too. We'll bill and we'll coo, and maybe a stork will bring this, that, and t'other thing too. A room without
our next sketch is set in the linen department of Harridge's, where a notice reads, bargains, sheets, pillow slips, tablecloths, dinner napkins, double damask.
Can I assist, madam?
Yes, I want 2 double dum and dinner napkins.
I beg your pardon, madam?
I said I want 2 dum and double dinner napkins.
Dinner napkins, madam?
Yes.
You mean dinner napkins?
That's what I said.
You'll pardon me, madam. You said dinner napkins.
Don't be ridiculous. I said dinner napkins, and I meant dinner napkins. I mean, dinner napkins. I wish you wouldn't confuse me.
I'm sorry, madam. You want dinner napkins, exactly. How many, madam?
2 dozzle.
Madam?
Oh, good gracious, young man. Can't you get it right? I want 2 dub and dozzle damask dinner napkins.
I think madam means 2 dozen.
I said 2 dozen.
Of course, madam. 2 dozen dinner napkins. Plain?
No, not plain. Double damask.
Sorry, madam?
They must be double dozen.
Well, I'm afraid we don't have any of those in stock.
Oh, the fools. Isn't there anyone with a modicum, just a modicum of intelligence in this store?
Well, perhaps our Mr. Peters can help you.
Do we have a problem?
I'm sorry to say this, but your assistant doesn't appear to speak English. I'm giving an order, but it might as well be in Esperanto for all he understands.
Allow me to help your modern requests.
I want 2 dozen double damask dinner napkins.
I beg your pardon, madam.
I want 2 dozen.
2 dozen.
Didn't I say 2 dozen?
You said dozen, madam, but I understand what you mean. 2 dozen. In other words, a double dozen.
That's it. A dozen double of Gamaldum dinner napkins.
Pardon me, madam. You mean a double dozen of double damask dinner napkins?
Double damask, sir.
I said double damask. It's dinner napkins you require.
Please get it right. I want dinner napkins.
I beg your pardon. How stupid of me. I get so confused. Dipper napkins, of course.
Dapper minkins, sir.
Dinner napkins.
I understand exactly what you want, madam. The lady requires two dumb and dozen Dimmy's dumber napkins.
Dumber napkins, sir?
Certainly, two dozen.
No, not season dozen. I want two dozen.
Right, so, madam. Two dozen dibble dummers dinner napkins.
Excuse me, sir. You mean two dumb and gabble dimmy dizzy napkins?
Talking about dizzy napkins, I want two dizzle dumb and dozen.
No. Two dizzle dumb and dizzy.
Two dozen, sir. Two dozen dimmel dozzy.
No, two damn dozzy dizzle dumb and dim and
dozzy. Please, your language.
Last, give me 24 serviettes.
I seem to be the victim of a cruel jest. It dogs my footsteps with the girl I love the best. She's just the sweetest thing that I have ever known. But still we never get the chance to be alone. My car will meet her, and her mother comes too. It's a two-seater. Still her mother comes too. At Skiro's when I am free, at dinner, supper or tea, she loves to a shimmy with me, and her mother does too. We buy her trousseau, and her mother comes too. Ask not to do so, still her mother comes too. She simply can't take a snub. I go and sulk at the club, then have a bath and a rub. And her brother comes too. There may be times when couples need a chaperone, but mothers ought to learn to leave a chap alone. I wish they'd have a heart and use their common sense. For three's a crowd and more, it's treble the expense. We lunch at Maxine's, and her mother comes too. How large a snack seems when her mother comes too. And when they're visiting me, we finish afternoon tea. She loves to sit on my knee, and her mother does too. To golf we started, and her mother came too. Three bags I carted, when her mother came too. She fainted just off the tee. My darling whispered to me, Jack dear, at last we are free. But her mother came too. And now a dramatic interlude. The Gifts of the Magi, based on a short story by the American writer Mr. O. Henry. It is set in the poor home of a brakeman employed by the railroad and his pretty young wife. The season is Christmastide.
I'm home, dear. I'm sorry I'm a little late.
I heard the whistle go ages past. I was hoping you wouldn't be long. Oh, I'm so glad you're off so that we can have Christmas Eve together.
Me too.
Here, dear. Merry Christmas. This is for you.
What is it?
Open it and see.
It's a chain.
It's heavy.
It's gold. Why, whatever is the matter, aren't you pleased?
Oh, yes, dear, I'm pleased, but...
Well, you know, you said you wanted that chain so that you wouldn't lose your watch. Because a brakeman must have a watch for his work.
Oh, I know, but I...
What, dear?
Well, you shouldn't have got me this, sweetheart. You know we can't afford it. Why, we're only able to scrape along on my wages. I mean, we haven't saved, so... Where? How?
Promise me you won't be angry.
Oh, angry with you today? Of course I won't be angry. I just don't understand.
Well, I knew you've always wanted it, and next to the jeweler's on Main Street where I got it, there was this little hairdresser's place.
So?
Well, in the window, I saw a sign, human hair bought. And so, look.
No. Your hair, your beautiful hair.
I promise not to be angry, dear.
I'm not angry, but you see... Well, today I pawned the watch.
Oh.
Yes, I know.
But why?
Well, I pawned the watch to get you these. The pair of side combs you wanted. For your hair.
Oh. That is the most wonderful present you could have ever given me.
Thank you, darling. And so is yours.
I was a humdrum person, leading a life apart, when love flew into my window wide and quickened my humdrum heart. Love flew in through my window, I was so happy then, but after love had stayed a little while, love flew out again. What is this thing called love? This funny thing called love. Just who can solve its mystery? Why should it make a fool of me? I saw you there one wonderful day. You took my heart and threw it away. That's why I asked the Lord in heaven above, what is this thing called love? I saw you there one wonderful day. You took my heart and threw it away. That's why I ask the Lord in heaven above, what is this thing called love?
I say. Do you like conundrums?
I've never tasted one.
I've got a conundrum.
Well, see a doctor.
No. I'm going to ask you a conundrum, you see. Are you ready? Why is a primrose like a lady's purse? To give it up.
What, the purse?
No, the conundrum.
I haven't got it.
No, listen, Charlie. I'm asking you a question. Why is a primrose like a lady's purse? To give it up.
No, wait a minute. I give it up. Why is a primrose like a lady's purse?
Because it opens with the spring.
I give it up.
No. That is the answer.
Well, I don't care. I give it up.
No, listen. This is the question. Now, listen. Why is a primrose like a lady's purse?
Oh, very good.
No. That is the question.
Oh, that's the part I like best.
No. This is the answer. Because it opens with the spring. See, that's where you laugh.
Do I? Oh, ha ha. Now, I'll tell you, why does a chicken lay an egg? Give it up.
No, because I give it up, you'll just give me some stupid answer like, Because it can't lay a brick.
No, 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 I promise faithfully I won't.
Oh, right, then. Why does the chicken lay an egg?
I don't know. Some foul reason.
Fantasy in olden days, in varying and different ways, was very much in vogue. Columbine and Pantaloon, a wistful Pierrot neath the moon, and Harlequin a rogue. Nowadays, Parisians of leisure wake the echo of an old refrain. Each some ragged effigy will treasure for his pleasure, till the shadows of their story live again. Mournfulness has always been the keynote of a Pierrot scene when passion plays a part. Pierrot, in a tragic pose, will kiss a faded silver rose with sadness in the heart. But someday soon he'll leave his tears behind him, and comedy comes laughing down the street. Columbine will fly to him, admiring and desiring, laying love and adoration at his feet.
Parisian hero, society's hero, the lord of the gates, the ruler of the gate is under your sway. The star will be falling as soon as the clock goes round.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following sketch is simply entitled You Bet.
Well, I think I'll be getting along. He's sure to be here in a few minutes.
Well, it's always the same with Jack. He promised he'd call for me at 3, and it's now...
3:50.
Oh, of course, I know what he's doing.
What?
Hanging over some tape machine, waiting for the result of the next race to come through.
Well, let's hope he's back to winner.
He never does. Jim, he's a friend of yours. Will you do me a favor?
Well, if I can.
Make him give up betting.
Oh, poof. He never will, so long as he believes he can make money at it. You're the only person that might be able to convince him that he can't.
How?
Well, if he had to choose between you and it, he might... Now, I don't say he would, but he might choose you.
I wonder.
You should try it. Oh, there he is now. I must be off. And remember, try it.
Hello, Jim.
Hi, Jack. Good to see you.
Bye, Jim. I'm most awfully sorry for being late, but...
I knew where you've been. Now, look here, Jack. This betting has got to stop.
Well, you never say that when I win.
So you've lost again, have you?
You can't win every time.
Oh, now listen, Jack. I'm not going to be kept waiting for hours like this while you lose money betting. You've either got to give up betting or give up me. Which is it to be?
Couldn't we compromise somehow?
Suppose I bet on Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays and take you out on Tuesdays, Thursdays and Saturdays.
Don't be absurd. Which are you going to choose?
Well, I've got to make money somehow.
Do you really kid yourself you make money?
I bet you that I do.
You needn't bother. I don't bet.
You'd bet quick enough if you thought you'd win.
I wouldn't.
What will you bet?
Oh, there you go again.
Well, I'll put you to the test.
Go on.
I'll bet you £5 you've got RSVP embroidered on your left garter.
Don't be ridiculous.
Do you take me?
It will be betting on a certainty.
Then why don't you take me?
Have you got £5?
Here. See?
Very well. I will take you, just to teach you a lesson.
Now for the proof.
What do you want me to do?
Just let me see whether I'm right or not.
I think you said the left. There. Do you see any RSVP?
Curious. Oh, it must be on the other garter.
See for yourself. Now do you admit you've lost?
I haven't seen all the way round.
Well, then, I'll take them off if that'll convince you.
Sorry to bother you.
There you are. One garter, two garters, and no RSVP.
There's your one. There's your £5.
Thank you. Where are you going with my garters?
Oh, I'm just going to show them to Jim. You see, I bet him £10 I'd make you take off your garters inside of 2 minutes.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Elizabeth Welsh.
When the mellow moon begins to beam, every night I dream a little dream. And of course, Prince Charming is the theme, the he for me. Although I realize as well as you, it is seldom that a dream comes true. To me, it's clear that he'll appear. Someday he'll come along, the man I love. And he'll be big and strong, the man I love. And when he comes my way, I'll do my best to make him stay. He'll look at me and smile, I'll understand. And in a little while, he'll take my hand, and though it seems absurd, I know we both won't say a word. Maybe I will meet him Sunday, maybe Monday, maybe not, still I'm sure to meet him. Maybe Tuesday will be my good news day. He'll build a little home just meant for two, from which I'll never roam. Who would you? And so all else above, I'm waiting for the man I love. Maybe I will meet him Sunday, maybe Monday, maybe not, till I'm sure to meet him one day. Maybe Tuesday will be my good news day. He'll build a little home just meant for two, from which I'll never roam. Would you? And so all else above, I'm waiting for the man I love.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a sop to those of you who are bored with the usual superficialities of light musical entertainments, we offer a short ballet for your edification. In it, you will see beauty, austerity, and intellectuality blended together with the spirit of modernity. It is entitled The Legend of the Lily of the Valley. The atmosphere is definitely early 18th century. French. A smacking of gently undulating country life, and then again smacking ever so slightly of the debauched life at court. The actual legend is simplicity itself. A dainty shepherdess of the period, Flannelette, is guarding her flock. Occasionally, she dances to them. But they pay no heed. Suddenly, from over the hill comes striding a Bergamo, a shepherd who loves her. They execute what is technically described as a pas de deux, which leaves Flannelette exhausted. Bergamo plays his pipe to her and then goes sadly away. Flannelette is left dreaming on the grass, during which the love theme is repeated in the orchestra for three flutes and the Kophaticon. Then six fairies enter and execute with considerable spirit a pas de deux. Flannelette starts up amazed. Suddenly a bugle call is heard. The fairies rush off and a coach drives by, stops and disgorges the evil and depraved Marquis de Poupignac with several court ladies whose tinkling false laughter sounds strangely incongruous in such sylvan surroundings. This jarring note is brought out in the music with astounding effect by a muted oboe and six clava balladullas. The Marquis, observing Flannelette, is immediately inflamed by her beauty. He flirts with her, and she, flattered by his attention, accompanies him to a neighboring coppice, during which the courtiers dance a stately pavane, which is interrupted by the re-entrance of Bergamo, who is searching wildly for Flannelette. He questions each of the courtiers, in mime, but they only laugh mockingly. Suddenly, a cry is heard. Flannelette comes running in with her fichu extremely ruffled, hotly followed by the Marquis. Bergamo attacks him, and the Marquis runs him through with his sword, and the story closes to music of transcendental beauty.
If you're romantic temperamentally, you must restrain it all you can. If you see life too sentimentally, you'll never find your man. You build such terrible pedantic dreams that your romantic dreams may go awry. Your thoughts are such, you claim too much, and love will pass you by.
Mary, make believe. Dream the whole day through. Foolish fancies, love romances, how could they come true? Mary, make believe. Sighed a little up asleep. Nobody claimed her, they only named her Mary, make believe.
Imagination is a form of adulation, it's a sensitive child. Let it run wild. Sigh in the firmament of all the world's gods. She's simply bound to make a lure until she finds a sense of humor. You'd love to touch her ever, she'll never, never see it through.
Nobody claimed her. They only named her Mary Make Believe.
The following sketch, entitled A Modern Miracle, demonstrates the wonders of contemporary science.
Here we are, Henry. Dr. Serge Varicose rejuvenations while you wait. Help him out of the bar chair, nurse.
I don't want to get out. I don't want to be rejuvenated.
Now, Henry, do as you are told. The doctor will make a new man of you.
I don't want him to make a new man of me, gossamer.
I distinctly heard you say, when you were looking at tennis pictures in the Tatler, that you wished you were 20 years younger.
I'm quite happy as I am.
I might be, Henry, but you mustn't be selfish. Your husband should consider his wife.
Aren't you satisfied with me as I am, gossamer?
No, I am not.
But why? I can't understand you, gossamer. You married me with your eyes open. There was no deception.
Be quiet, Henry. Help him out, nurse.
You knew I was 70. It said so on the marriage license.
I am acting for your own good, Henry. The treatment is quite painless.
I'm too old to be mighted about with like this.
Old Mr. Molyneux was 70 when he came here, and only this morning I saw an announcement in the Times that said he had been chosen for the next test match.
Test match? He can't play draft.
Oh, hold his sticks, nurse. Come, Henry.
I won't.
Oh, come, come. We mustn't be fretty. In next to no time, you will be a fine, strapping lad again. Then the happy couple can start on a second honeymoon.
We don't want a second honeymoon, gossamer. We've had one already. Haven't we?
Yes, Henry.
Your ingratitude pains me, gossamer. I took you to Cheltenham, tried to teach you cribbage.
You did?
But your heart was never in the game.
Oh, come, Henry, the doctor is waiting. The glands will be getting gold.
We've had many, many happy evenings, gossamer. I in my armchair, and you sitting at my feet, plying your busy needles.
Oh, we shan't want the milk, nurse, and you can take the chair back with you. We shall walk home. You needn't sit up. I'll put him to bed myself.
Oh, for the last time, gossamer, I solemnly protest against this unnatural proceeding. I warn you, no good can come of it. My brain is as active as that of many a younger man.
Oh, my dear Henry, I have never doubted your mental capacity.
Oh, yes. I brought my husband. He had an appointment for treatment.
Oh, I'll take him. I'm afraid you can't come in. Only patients are allowed.
But I am his wife.
Well, I'm sorry, but only the treatment is secret. The doctor is most peculiar.
Well, how long will it take?
Half an hour at the outside.
Oh, very well, I'll wait. Goodbye, Henry.
Goodbye,
customer.
Half an hour later.
I don't believe it.
What?
You look so young, so handsome, so athletic, so virile.
Well,
Oh, Henry, is it really you? I can't believe it. It's wonderful. Wonderful.
Well, it's more than wonderful.
Take me in your arms. I feel that I'm dreaming.
So do I.
Kiss me before I wake up.
When
you have questioned it, that young man, Gossamer, I'd appreciate your giving me a hand.
Henry?
I told you it wouldn't work.
Cautionary tale enacted at a dinner table. In this age of fads and crazes, it could easily be yours or mine.
Would you mind giving me some coffee? This is cold.
So is your pudding. And if you'd taken your nose out of your newspaper and put it in the coffee, you'd not be complaining now. Meals with you are beginning to get on my nerves. You just sit there and fuss with your miserable riddles.
Well, out of time, they aren't riddles. They're crossword puzzles.
Well, I don't see any difference as far as I'm concerned. You'd be a great deal more interesting if you took to drink or drugs or cat burgling or something.
What word of six letters applies to an apple and a row?
You're not going to drag me into this silly business.
Applies to an apple and a row. Of course, it may be row, like quarrel. What do you think, my pet?
I think you're cracked.
I've got one of the vertical ones, so I know this word begins with an R. R something apple. R something row.
If you had a really generous bone in your body, you'd bring home two papers. Then I could read the things I like while you sit with your rotten old puzzles.
Rotten? Why, of course. My love, you're marvellous. Rotten apple, rotten row. That's the answer.
Oh, wish they'd pass a law against puzzles.
What's a word of eight letters meaning doing time? Ends with an E. Something, 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 E.
Wish it's something, 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 something. Listen to me.
Of course, my saint, but that has too many letters.
I've often wondered why I ever married you. Mother warned me. Anastasia, she said, you're in for a very heavy sentence.
Did you say sentence?
I dead and with feeling.
That's the word. It means doing time, doesn't it? Eight letters and ends with an E. That's splendid, my dove. Let's do another.
No, we don't do another.
Oh, but look, it's only the last one to get. Six letters meaning blow. Begins with a W and ends with a P.
I won't stand it any longer. I'll go home to Mother. She appreciates me, and I'll be rid of your puzzles.
Answer it, will you, my cornflower? And if it's anyone with any more sense than you, ask him for a word of six letters meaning blow.
Oh, blow you. Hello. Oh, hello, Mother. I was just going to ring you. Does it begin with a W and end with a P? Oh, damn, Mother. Now I can't even go home.
I'm glad it's Fox, your mother, too.
Give me that paper.
What? Hey, wait, I haven't finished yet.
Yes, and you won't either. Take that.
Oh. That's it. Of course. Begins with a W and ends with a P. Wallop.
That's right.
What's happened? Ladies and gentlemen, I must apologize. I'm afraid we seem to have a slight hiatus in our production.
Bert! Will you get on and check those lights?
Oh, I don't know what's wrong with them. They was all right this morning.
Well, look, Library. The love duet's on next.
Well, if we're going to make love, why worry about the lights?
I'm sorry, is this going to take very long?
Not knowing, can't say.
Well, be as quick as you can, as a good fella. Miss Kathy Sarah there is waiting.
I beg your pardon, miss.
It's all right, my partner's not here yet.
Ah, well, what do you know? It's an old boot in the footlights. That's what's caused the short circuit. We'll get this lot sorted out in no time.
Excuse me, but I don't suppose you've seen my partner, have you?
Don't know, miss. Which one is he?
The tall thin one with the little moustache.
Well, unless I'm mistaken, miss, he just popped next door to the pub for a swift half.
Oh, that's too bad. This is the third performance he's missed this week.
Oh, I shouldn't worry about him. Get on with it by yourself.
But it's a duet. It's a love song for two.
Well, sing it to me. Won't interfere with my work. And now I'm on stage, well, it looks a bit silly to go off again, don't it?
Oh, that's awfully kind of you, Bert. Sure, I shouldn't be hindering you in your work.
Not at all, miss. You go right ahead.
Looking at you, what troubles are fleeing. I'm admiring of you, 'cause it's you I'm seeing. And the sweet honeyed hue of well-being settles upon me. What is this light that shines when you enter, like a star in the night? And what's to prevent you from destroying my sight if you center all of it on me? Looking at you, I'm filled with the essence of the contentment of joy. Looking at you, I can but say it all. Who's my favorite boy? Joy. Life seems so great. I wanted to end it till that wonderful day you started to mend it. And if you lonely stay, then I'll spend it looking at you.
Very nice, miss. You don't mind me saying so, you don't deserve you.
Looking at you, I'm filled with the essence of the quintessence of joy. Looking at you, I can but sing it all. Who's my favorite boy? Joy. Life seems so great. I wanted to end it till that wonderful day you started to mend it. And if you lonely sing,
Our next sketch is definitely not for those of a nervous disposition. It is a midnight encounter between two spectral beings, Sir George of the Haunted Tower and Lord Herbert, the murdered Marquis.
Good evening, George. Good evening, Herbert. You're up very early tonight.
Yes, yes. I was up and shaved before supper.
Where are you haunting tonight?
I'm doing the tower at midnight.
Oh, yes.
The blue bedroom at 2:30. Yes. And I'm wrapped in a few chains in the bloodstained boudoir at 4. But I'm going to try and get out of that if I can. Well.
Are you not feeling fit?
Oh, I'm all right. But they've turned it into a bathroom. And it's so damp.
Oh, yes, I know. I went in there about a fortnight ago to do a little groaning. And the moon was shining on the white bath. And you always frightened the life out of me.
Are you doing the picture gallery tonight?
Oh, no, I'm fed up with those family pictures. They give me the creeps. Oh, but that one of you, George, that's rather a good likeness. When was it done?
Oh, about a couple of years before I was beheaded.
Oh. Going to Scotland this year?
No.
Oh.
Last year, I got a job as a locum for the Lost Laird of Loch Lomond. Sitting on a gorse bush from 2 to 4, howling in Gaelic.
On a gorse bush.
I hate haunted in kilts.
Oh. I hate outside work altogether. I mean, last year, for instance, I was on point duty at the crossroads down at Gallows Corner, and there I was working the creaking gibbet, and a fellow on a Morris Cowley drives right through me.
That's all liable to happen.
I say, have you seen that cat about?
No. Why?
Oh, I don't like cats. Their eyes shine in the dark. Give me the shivers.
Oh, you're altogether too nervous. Why didn't you get yourself a job as an echo? Or a shadow on a blind?
I don't know. Maybe things will get easier with this ghost union they're talking about.
Are you going to join?
Well, I am thinking about it, yes. After all, they're putting in for a 4 hours haunt, and no ball and chain, and headless spectres and disappearing through walls that account for skilled labour.
Well, something ought to be done.
Oh, yeah.
I'm haunting with fingers to the bone. Mm,
it's these house parties. I can't stand turning the place upside down.
There's no manners. Last month, a young lad threw a tennis racket right through my...
No respect at all. I went up behind a girl in the haunted passage and blew some chill air on the back of her neck.
Scare her?
Oh. All she said was, how dare you, Colonel? Yes. And what's more, if I hadn't had my head under my arm, I'd have had a very nasty smack in my face.
I should like you all to know I'm a famous gigolo, and of lavender my nature's got just a dash in it. As I'm slightly undersexed, you will always find me next to some dowager who's wealthy rather than passionate. Go to one of those nightclub places and you'll find me stretching my braces, pushing ladies with lifted faces round the floor. But I must confess to you, there are moments when I'm blue, and I ask myself, whatever I do it for. I'm a flower that blooms in the winter, sinking deeper and deeper in snow. I'm a baby who has no mother but jazz. I'm a gigolo. Every morning when labor is over, to my sweet-scented lodgings I go. Take the glass from the shelf and look at myself. Oh, I'm a gigolo. I get stuffs and bonds from faded blondes every 25th of December. Still I'm just a pet that men forget and only tailors remember. Yet when I see the way all the ladies treat their husbands who put up the dough, you cannot think me odd if then I thank God I'm a gigolo.
Our next scene is set outside a coffee stall somewhere in London. Jim, the proprietor, is polishing his cups. He has plenty of time to do so since business isn't very good. A policeman strolls by.
How's things, Jim?
Mustn't grumble.
Fine night.
Yeah, that's why.
Nobody about much.
Nah, only a few of the usuals, that's all.
Like her, you mean.
Hello, Jim. Good night, officer.
Good night. Same old story.
Yeah, all the world's a blooming stage.
Well, so long.
So long.
Hello, Jim.
How are we?
Oh, not so bad.
You want some coffee?
Oh, yes, please.
It's a fine night.
Oh, it's wonderful.
You're tired?
Yes, a little. Yeah.
Ah, no. Coffee's on me tonight.
Oh, thanks.
Well, them trees in the park coming on fine.
Yeah. I hate spring, though.
Why?
I don't know, many reasons.
Oh, come off it. Queen depression.
Yeah, you're right. What's the use, anyway?
Come on, what is the use of arguing? You don't understand.
I think I do.
Well, why not be reasonable?
I'm trying to be.
Oh, just for 10 minutes. There wouldn't be any harm in it.
Let's have some coffee.
We can have some in my flat.
I'd rather have it here.
Oh, all right. 2 coffees, please.
Certainly, sir.
Nobody would ever know.
It isn't that.
Well, what is it?
Can't you see?
No.
Here you are, sir.
Can I have some sugar, please?
Okay, miss.
You've dropped your bag here. Oh, thank you so much.
Listen now, darling. Don't be unkind.
I'm not unkind.
Were you as much as promised?
I didn't.
You did, when we were dancing.
And that's not true.
Now, look here.
Oh, leave me alone. Leave me alone.
Well, very well, then I will.
Jack! Jack!
Don't, dear.
Why? What do you mean?
I'm sorry, it's none of my business.
Oh, please. Don't go for a minute.
Why not?
I'm awfully unhappy. Oh,
now, sure, come on, you mustn't do that.
I can't help it. I'm utterly, utterly miserable.
Oh, look, come on, dry your eyes.
I'm sorry to be so stupid.
What's wrong?
Everything.
Well, it shouldn't be. You're only a baby.
Oh, I'm not anymore.
You in love with that man?
Yes.
Is he married?
Yes.
Thought so.
Oh, what am I to do?
Put a stop to it.
I can't.
You must. You're starting your life all wrong. You're heading for disaster.
No, you don't understand.
Yes, I do. I understand only too well. You're dancing too much, you're drinking too much, and you're living too much. I've watched so many girls like you drifting along, never knowing when to stop, and then suddenly, oof, it's too late.
What do you mean?
You're only a baby. You're lonely, and maybe someday soon you'll know. The tears you are tasting are years you are wasting. Life's a bitter foe. With fate, it's no use competing. Youth is so terribly fleeting. By dancing much faster, you're chancing disaster. Time alone will show. Poor little rich girl, you're a bewitched girl, better beware. Laughing a danger, virtue a stranger, better take care. The life you lead sets all your nerves a jangle. Your love affairs are in a hopeless tangle. Though you're a child, dear, your life's a wild typhoon. In days of leisure, the craze for pleasure steadily grows. Cocktails and laughter, but what comes after, nobody knows. You're weaving love into a magic pattern, ruled by pantaloons. Poor little rich girl, don't drop a stitch too
soon. The following moral and improving tale is set in one of the bedrooms of a large country house at the height of the house party season.
This is your room, Mr. Johnson.
How very extraordinary. The walls are almost entirely covered with hanging plates. And I don't believe I've ever seen so many jugs, vases, dishes, bowls and clocks.
This is known as the George Washington room. Mm-hmm. And legend has it that if anyone in this room tells a lie, one of these things will fall and break.
Well, that seems very unlikely.
Anyway, I hope you sleep well. Good night.
Good night.
George Washington. Father, I cannot tell a lie.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Oh, don't mention it.
I thought this was my room.
Really?
What was that?
Oh, only the clock falling off the mantelpiece.
What made it fall?
I wonder.
I mustn't stay. I must find my own room.
Oh, why?
Oh, it's not proper to be alone in your room.
Oh, we could just have a little friendly chat.
This is the first time that I've ever been in a gentleman's room alone.
Have a drink. Let me get your whiskey and soda.
Oh, I've never drunk a whiskey and soda in my whole life.
Quite a nice crowd at the house party, huh?
Well, at first I thought it rather dull, until I saw you.
Well, I don't mind telling you, I had the same thought. Oh, look, don't mind that, it's only the shelf. What were you doing out in the passage?
Trying to find my room.
Didn't you know that this was my room?
No.
Are you sorry that it is my room?
Not at all.
Well, that's different. Now, what kind of summer have you been having?
A terribly slow one, up until now.
I thought you were just the type of girl that has lots of men friends.
I thought you wouldn't look at me.
Are you telling the truth?
You take me for a flirt.
I did not take you for a flirt at all.
There goes the picture. What are you thinking about now?
I was just thinking about the weather.
Things falling about here are getting on my nerves. They make me nervous.
They make me nervous, too. Are you married?
No, thank you.
That's marvelous.
What are you laughing at?
Well, I was just thinking that if you were married, how angry your husband would be if he knew you were in my room now.
Oh, don't be silly. My husband, if I had one, would understand that everything I did was quite harmless.
What has been going on in here?
Nothing.
What is she doing in your room?
This gentleman and I were just having a little chat.
See, it's not an evil thought in our minds.
What you've just told me is true. Can you explain why that vase fell?
Oh, don't be so dramatic.
Dramatic? This is outrageous. A woman alone in a room with one of my guests?
Come now, suppose you were alone in a strange room and a beautiful woman like this would walk in on you. What would you have done?
I don't care how beautiful she might be. I would say, woman, go.
When I'm feeling dreary and blue, I'm only too glad to be left alone. Dreaming of a place in the sun when day is done, far from the telephone. Never seem to see the sky, buildings seem to grow so high. Give me something peaceful and grand, where all the land slumbers in monotone. I'm world weary, living in a great big town. I find it so dreary, everything looks grey or brown. I want an ocean blue, great big trees, a bird's eye view of the Pyrenees. I want to watch the moon rise up and see the great red sun go down. Watching clouds go by through a wintry sky fascinates me. But if I do it in the street, everyone I meet simply hates me. Because I'm world weary, tired of all these jumping jacks. I want to get right back to nature and relax. And plow, chickens too, just one cow with a wistful moo. I can hardly wait till I see the great open spaces. My loving friends will not be there. I'm so sick of their damp old faces. Because I'm world weary, tired of all these jumping jacks. I want to get right back to nature and relax. The scene is the deliciously appointed boudoir of Miss Poppy Baker. Well, she's actually Mrs. Baker. Even though the morning is already half gone, she's still asleep. Sunlight streams across her bed when, suddenly...
Oh, dear. Hello, who is it, please? Mr. Pringle. No, sir, I'm afraid Miss Baker isn't awake yet, sir. Oh, no, sir, I daren't, sir. She'd sack me on the spot, sir. Yes, sir. Goodbye, sir. Oh, all waking me up. Who is it speaking? Oh, Maggie, darling. I thought it was old Potty Pringle. Twice this morning, dear. Really, it is the limit. He ought to be at home dangling his grandchildren. Oh, yes, dear, orchids as usual. Very mouldy looking with rude speckles all over them. Still, they are expensive. What? No. You've got your decree, nasty or whatever it is. Oh, darling, I'm frightfully glad. Well, if dragging you to the Beggar's Opera 14 times isn't cruelty, I don't know what is. The judge actually said
that to you in court, a dreadful old man. But they're all the same, dear. No respect for one's finer feelings. Sadie? Oh, no, it's quite different for her. She won her case on points, like a boxer. No, nothing was ever proved, because although she started for Brighton four times with the worst possible intentions, she never got any further than Haywood's Heath. What? Oh, no, darling, no such luck. I heard from him yesterday he won't let me divorce him. The beast. It isn't as if we're fond of one another. We haven't even set eyes on each other for 5 years. Yes, he's with Frieda now. She got him away from Vera. I believe she's driving him mad. What I think of husbands. Oh, no, Bobby's different. Besides, he isn't yet. I don't suppose he ever will be. Oh, don't giggle, Maggie. All right, see you, Rose, at 1 o'clock. Hello? Yes? Speaking? Who's it? Police station? What's happened? What, last night? Oh, my God, this is terrible. 12 o'clock, yes, of course, I'll be there. Exchange, give me Mayfair 7160 at once. Maggie? Oh, my darling, listen. The most awful thing. The police have just rung me up. Jim jumped over Waterloo Bridge last night. Oh, darling, I don't know what time. Oh, that's a little callous of you, dear. He was my husband, after all, and I'm naturally wretched. Utterly wretched. Well, of course they communicated with me first. How were they to know we hadn't seen each other for years? Oh, yes, Giroux's at one. Hello, Kensington 8712, quickly. Hello, is that your Flossie? Poppy speaking. My dear, Jim's dead. Oh, thank you, darling. I knew you would be a comfort. No, he jumped off Waterloo Bridge. The one next to Charing Cross. No, 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 that's Blackfriars. Oh, don't be silly, Flossie. You know perfectly well. Westminster comes first, then Charing Cross, then Waterloo. Oh, how can you? I'm having such a struggle, such a bitter, bitter struggle. No, I'm having lunch with Maggie at Ciro's. Can you join us? Good. 1 o'clock? Exchange. Mayfair 6773, please. Is that the Guards Club? Put me through to Lieutenant Godalming, please. Yes, please. Hello, is that you, darling? Oh, I'm sorry, Higgins. I thought that was Lieutenant Godalming. In his bath. Oh, then please get him out, Higgins. It's frightfully important. Darling, something too fearful has happened. Jim's dead. Jim! My husband! Yes! He jumped off Waterloo Bridge last night. He jumped off Waterloo Bridge last night. No, Waterloo. Oh, darling, I think you've got some soup in your ears. Now, look, Bobby, dear, isn't it dreadful? I'm absolutely miserable. Now, come along, sweetheart. You mustn't be naughty. Yes, tonight. Somewhere quiet, really, really quiet. I shan't have any appetite. Oh, no, that would be too heartless. No, that would be too dull. See the embassy. All right. Goodbye, Bobbly Wobbly. Lily! Lily, come here! Is whatever the matter with you?
Dreadful!
Dreadful!
The portier upstairs!
Speaker? Hello? Yes, we did speak earlier. No, I'm Mrs. Baker. Mrs. Straker lives upstairs.
Yes, she just heard that her husband jumped off Waterloo Bridge last night.
What do you mean you're sorry you've been troubled?
I took one look at you, that's all I meant to do, but then my heart stood still.
My feet could step and walk, my lips would move and talk, and yet my heart stood still. Though not a single word was spoken, I could tell you knew that unfelt clasp of hands told me so well you knew. I never lived at all until the thrill of that moment when my heart stood still. Though not a single word was spoken, I could tell you that unfelt clasp of hands told me so well you knew. I never lived at all until the thrill of that moment when my heart stood still.
May seem just full of grief, just full of woe, sad past belief, no hope below. Try and dream that things aren't so bad. It's better far to stop being sad, though life may jar. Though the skies with clouds are overcast, try and feel all things come right at last.
I can have a sound of the children sounding gladness in the morning. Never care what others say, you'll always find another day in morning. Away with trouble, you'll always find where only marble, so never mind. Always have a happy child in the morning. Always come before your mind, and you will find it comes all right tomorrow. Put your care away, decay away, for night may have its gladness, but it's yours to trust to gladness in the day.
Nightclub.
I say.
Bob, do you really think John Moffat will pop in?
Oh, bound to. I'll introduce you.
Well, Hit the Heights was a real Bobby Dazzler, eh?
I love the song. Gershwin, Cole Porter, Ivan, a very rotten heart, and Mel Card. What a feast.
And the sketch.
You don't make a dash, Clef.
Ah, there you are, Bab.
John,
wonderful.
You were all terrific tonight, Mr. Moffat.
How kind. In fact, the whole cast is over there celebrating. It was the 100th performance tonight.
There's a galaxy for you to goggle at, Mabel. Look, Eunice Stubbs, Charles Kay, Nicholas Grace, even Elizabeth Welch.
And who's the young fella pouring champagne for the girls?
Oh, that's naughty Nicholas Bolton, flirting with Kathy Sayre.
Oh, yes, they sang that duet. A room with a view.
And
And the young lady being fated by those two hands, the masters.
Oh, that's Rachel Atkins. On her one arm is Peter Whitman, and on the other, Michael Onslow.
And there's the chap who is waving his stick at the fan.
That's our musical director, Richard Holmes, talking to Brian Sibley, who put the whole show together. And the man paying for the drinks is Glyn Dearman, our producer.
I say, John, tomorrow we're off to the Haymarket to see the circus.
My dear Willie Somerset, Norm. Hey, oh, now, do excuse me. I want to be near the back exit. The silver slipper is due for another police raid.
Oh.
Lovely meeting you. Enjoy the circle.
Police raid? But I'm a magistrate, and I don't want to miss tomorrow's show by this little Dorset chap.
Somerset Ass. The circle by Somerset Norm.
Wait, follow me, and carry her!